Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. This week, of course, it is going to serve as our Elimination Chamber predictions show. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing primarily tomorrow's Elimination Chamber premium live event at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We do, before we get started, though, have to deal more with this Cody Rhodes issue because more things have happened. As you know, Cody Rhodes has reportedly left AEW, and many, many, many sources are saying he is well on his way to signing with WWE, but he has not done it, and he's free to have done it. So this still leaves a cloud over my head saying, I just wonder if this is being done to draw some publicity to AEW. Is it possible? It is possible. Now, people are saying absolutely 100% no. This is real. That's what they're saying, but of course that's what they would say. People behind the scenes in AEW saying, no, it's not a work. It's definitely not a work. He's definitely gone. Could he resign? Yeah, he could resign. He's a free agent. He could resign. They could come to terms. But his leaving was not a gimmick. That's what they're saying. I don't know if it's true or it isn't. But what I do know is someone posted on the internet a picture of Cody Rhodes at a Polish airport that they claim was taken today. Now, he has the neck tattoo. And the neck tattoo is, what, a couple of months old or something like that? So it can't be too old. And I don't know what Cody Rhodes would be doing at a Polish airport. That would be the way you would potentially fly if you wanted to go to Saudi Arabia, no? But would the WWE debut him down there where people would, you know, people wouldn't give him the pop? I don't think so, unless he's just going there to talk, or that's a long way to go to talk. But something's in the works here, folks. And I'm beginning to understand just what it might be. Now, Cody, for the record, is saying, I lost all the booking. I had nothing to say over the booking. And that was more important to me than anything else. And that's part of the reason. Part of the reason is money. We couldn't come to terms. I felt like I should be paid more than anybody else in the company as far as the talent that weren't executive vice presidents and things, because I helped found this, and that wasn't the case. But I'm hearing another story, and some AEW workers are staunchly denying it, but other ones are supporting it, and many more are supporting it than denying it. And that rumor is no one liked Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes was really rubbing people the wrong way, and they knew it was going to be a package deal. Now, Nyla Rose has come out and said, that's not true. Everybody loves Brandi. And a couple other people came out and said, that's not true. All I can tell you is when I met her, she seemed very nice, but why would she not be nice to a fan, right? But I've heard other things. And if that's the case, and Brandi felt, I'm not liked here, I'm not going to do well here, Cody's off the booking, so he cannot help me, bad things are about to happen. Perhaps Cody Rhodes and his wife made a decision, our future's not here. However, the WWE hasn't said they have any interest in Brandi Rhodes either. They have said they had interest. I believe they have mentioned they had interest in Cody, and they'd be stupid not to. So for right now, this story is as follows. According to everyone at AEW, including Cody Rhodes' closest friends, this is not a work. Of course, that's what they would say. He has not instantly signed with WWE, which he could have. which makes me suspicious that it could be a work, and it could end up that he just comes full circle back to AEW and he's only taking some time off. Maybe they're going on vacation. Maybe they're doing something. The show hasn't been canceled on TBS, and that's very funny because what are you going to do with it? If he signs with WWE, are you going to promote another show that's not on your network? I wouldn't think so. So for right now, I still have that cloud of doubt above my head. I'm still taking this very cautiously. But if you want to listen to what everybody's saying, the powers that be and his friends and AEW and other people are saying, no, this is absolutely true. Cody Rhodes felt he was being nudged out. He got nudged out as Booker. He wasn't a top paid guy anymore. When he went for that top paid money, Tony Khan said no. He felt slighted. Brandy wasn't well liked backstage. She felt she wasn't going to be used if Cody wasn't going to be a part of the booking. And this is what led to the departure. So I'm not sure where to go from here. Like, it's a very interesting story, though, and I guess we'll just have to keep watching it closely.
Yeah, we'll have to keep watching it. Look, it was his baby in the first place. Yeah, I've said it before. It was his baby in the first place. Yeah, Tony Khan's the money man, but this was Cody Rhodes' baby. Is he willing to walk away from his baby? You know? I mean, I agree with you. Something smells with this. This could be just a, like you just said, this could be just a ploy. Now, do they contract ploy? And this could be a ploy not only for him, but if AEW does sign it back, they could be a package deal, you know? Because she's WWE has no interest in her. The only, I mean, maybe Impact, maybe something, but basically the only place that may very well have interest in her is AEW, right? So think about it. This could just be a work in terms of, you know, yeah, he goes to Poland or whatever, and it's like, okay, if you're going to Poland, yeah. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Vince does go to Saudi Arabia, does he? Doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
So
he does.
If it's just a meet, let's just go at it this way, Marcus. Let's just go at it from the WWE angle. Okay, he goes to this Polish airport. He's seen with this Polish airport. You can't mistake him because you can plainly see that tattoo, you know, which
right.
He just recently got, like you said. This going through Poland is going, it's him going to Saudi Arabia. Vince is in Saudi Arabia. He's going. They're not debuting there, but he's meeting with Vince. You know, let's just say that. I mean, that could be all that's going on. It's just a meeting.
I mean, it's a long way to go for a meeting, but at the same time, anything's possible. The only thing that I do not understand, and this is the one thing that's making me think this whole all could be a work, is if the WWE wants Cody so bad, and they would, because it would be like rubbing it in the face of AEW, oh, the guy who founded your company is with us, they wouldn't lose him by saying, but we don't want your wife. They'd say, well, what the hell? If that's what it takes to sign you, absolutely, right? If that's the stickling point between signing you and not, sure, we'll take her. We got worse wrestlers than her. So I don't know, man. That's the thing that gets me, Mike, is if I were Vince McMahon and I wanted Cody Rhodes as badly as it appears that he does to kind of wave that in their faces of the AEW, if the stickling point was sign my wife, I wouldn't be saying no. I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, why not?
Right. And look, would they say, well, would the WWE say, well, if we sign her, you know, she's going to go back to being Eden Stiles or whatever her name was at the time she was there? Probably not. They'd say, okay, if you want her to be Randy Rhoads, we'll call her Randy Rhoads, you know?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, and then there's this other conspiracy theory going around, and that is that Cody informed the AEW that he's going to let the contract run out, leave, sign a one-year deal, somehow get it in the contract that he can get his name and his name is his own and everything else, let that year contract run out and then come directly back with his name and everything else so that all the things that he wanted that the WWE wouldn't give him, he'll get. Because he thinks he can make them give them those concessions. I don't know if that would work. I think that's a little far-fetched. It's not far-fetched, though, to think that maybe he's just going to take a vacation. This is a guy who has been working on this company nonstop for years, right? A year before it even got on the air. So he's basically been balls to the wall here. And if he said, I'm going to take a vacation anyway, how about if we make it look like my contract ran out, we have a handshake deal that I'm going to re-sign, we'll get all kinds of speculation. I'm going to the WWE, I'm going this place, I'm going that place, and then after, you know, 2 or 3 months, maybe or a month and a half, I'll come back. And it'll be a big, like, re-debut, and it'll be a reset button for my career in AEW. Don't think that couldn't happen, because it could. But if what they're saying is true, and Cody Rhodes was highly offended and hurt that he got the booking pulled out from underneath him, and offended that Tony Khan didn't think his worth was as high as a guy like CM Punk, then maybe it's true, Todd. I don't know. Well, what side are you falling on this?
To be honest with you, it's hard to decide whose side, what side to go on. Like you said, it could go both ways. It could be a work or a legit thing. It could go both ways, to be honest with you.
It really could, and that's why it's so hard. That's why it's so very hard to decide what's going on here. Again, like Mike said, there's no way he's debuting in Saudi Arabia. They would not do that. They absolutely wouldn't do that. They'd wait. But if I was a betting man, I would say, hold on to a little of your money, because I'm just not sure where this is leading. I'm just not sure. Could go either way, folks. We'll know soon enough. Because if the WWE hasn't signed him past, like, next week, something smells. There would be no stickling point. It would simply be about a matter of money, and I don't think Vince is really going to argue that much. Because whatever he had to pay him, he would consider it a pretty low price to be able to waive that in AEW's face. So, you know, that's why I don't know. But then again, if you're going to tell me, well, they don't want to sign Brandy, you're going to lose Cody Rhodes because you don't want to sign Brandy for a contract, probably be a pittance. I don't buy it. So I'm on the fence here. Anyway, let's get to Saudi Arabia and what's going to be happening here. Tonight, by the way, we should say this. Tonight, by the way, you're going to see a contract signing between Naomi and Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Sonya Deville. And there was a huge botch. And you know I get all over workers for making these botches. But this time, Charlotte Flair is not responsible for this botch. And I know everybody on the internet says she is. I get it. I saw the botch. I'm telling you, she's not responsible for it. If you want to say she's a little bit responsible for it, okay. The reason she's a little bit responsible for it is she realized that when Ronda screwed it up, she could do one of two things. No sell it completely, which would have been bad, or sell it and make it look like shit, and she chose the second one. Now, if you want to blame her for that, okay. But what ended up happening was during the contract signing, Ronda stood up. When Charlotte stood up, Ronda was supposed to grab her head and bang it into the table, drop her head into the table. what Ronda did was reach over in such an awkward way and just take, like, the front part of her hair. It was, and then she sort of pulls back instead of goes forward, and Charlotte got lost about where she wanted to, you know, there was no signal. And then, instead of holding onto her head, she lets it go. So she just makes a little flick. You couldn't pull somebody's head down into a table like that if you were the Incredible Hulk with a little flick of your hand. So Charlotte didn't know what to do. The timing was wrong. She let go of her head. So Charlotte just went with it, and it looked like Charlotte just basically headbutted a table. It was really bad, and from what I'm being told, they're cutting it out. Is 100% proof, folks, that Ronda Rousey, who I like as a person and I love as a UFC fighter, she is not a wrestler. And you're not even trying to make her be one. That's the thing. With Ronda Rousey, you're just saying, we want your name. We don't give a damn if you suck. You may as well be Johnny Knoxville. We don't really care. It's not like Bad Bunny, who they said, well, he's really going to work to try. Or Stephen Amell, who's, you know, he really has an interest, and he works a little bit at it or whatever. This is just somebody who says, I'm going to show up, and I'm going to, you know, I don't feel like going through all the machinations. I'll just do what I do. But she doesn't know how to do it. You may as well call somebody in the audience. She doesn't know how to do it. That's why when she's not in there with five people, that's why this is going to be a tag team match, because when she's not in there with people who can work, she don't know what to do or exactly how to do it. And when you've got to cut something as simple as that, it would take 5 minutes to explain to Ronda Rousey. You reach over, grab her by the back of the head, give the signal, and then go down. Three quarters of the way down, you can let off her head if you want. But basically, you got to look like there's some force of what you're doing. You can't just reach out with your fingertips and make it look like you flicked her head like a bug off of your lapel. Okay, you're not the Incredible Hulk. This is Charlotte Flair. Nope. We don't have the time to do that. As long as her name's Ronda Rousey. Mike, I don't know if you got a chance to see it on the internet, but if you didn't, watch it. And then you can judge for yourself. But I'm telling you, from what I saw, this is Ronda Rousey's fault.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before about her. She is, I mean, look, you look at the, you know, the other MMA people who actually, that are in the company, that actually work at being wrestlers. Yeah, Sonya Deville, yeah, she hasn't been in the ring for a while. She just got back with Naomi, and of course, the Queen of Spades there, you know. They know what to do because they work at it every day. You know, they work at it. And you put either one of those two women or those other two women in that same situation, and it would have looked like it should look, right? You know, this is Ronda Rousey. Yeah, she's a name. And yes, she may love wrestling, pro wrestling, but there are fans, there are people that love the pro wrestling that should not be in a pro wrestling ring. Simple as that, you know?
I agree, but they don't care anymore. They're just like, well, her name's Ronda Rousey, and we really don't care. Just go out and do it. I guess they presume. Maybe they presume too much. Maybe they presume, well, you're a UFC fighter. You have an idea of how it would look if you really did it. But UFC fighters don't bang people's heads into tables. But I guess they assumed if Ronda was going to give opponent a knee strike, you know how you clutch the back of their head and you bring it up and give the knee strike? I guess they figured, well, she's going to kind of know how to do this head drop, but she didn't. And aside from that, to give Ronda a little bit of leeway, she doesn't want to hurt anybody. So she's like, well, I don't want to screw up and hurt somebody here, so let me give the lightest possible touch. But you can't be afraid. If you're afraid, you shouldn't be in the ring. And it's not afraid of you getting hurt. If you're afraid of hurting someone else, then that means you are not confident in your abilities. I was never afraid of bringing someone up, bashing him with a ball bat, hitting him with everything I could get my hands on, because I did a lot of hardcore stuff. I was never afraid of hurting anyone because I knew how to do it. Ronda Rousey seems to be the type of person who says, okay, well, I'm a real fighter and you're not, and I don't want to hurt you, so let me be very cautious with you. She's got to throw that to the wind a little bit. She's got to be confident of her abilities. And if she's not confident of her abilities, then it's your fault because you didn't teach her what she needed to do. So you probably won't see that tonight. I believe they've cut it out, but you can see it on the internet if you want to see it. It's pretty bad. It may be the worst botch in 5 or 10 years in the WWE. It really looked super, super, super bad. Anyway, let's start out with The Miz versus Rey Mysterio. Now, normally I would say that The Miz would get a victory here. The Miz has been on a one-man losing streak. And we might want to see some further dissension between Rey and his son. But we're in Saudi Arabia. And this is probably going to be an opening match or a match of very little consequence. And they're probably just going to want to make everybody happy. So I don't think there's going to be any furthering of any storylines. I just think it's going to be a normal match, and probably Rey Mysterio is going to win. So I'm going to go with Rey Mysterio, Mike.
Yeah, and I'll go with Rey, too, and for the simple fact that, really, wins and losses Miz is one of the few people, one of the handful of people in the entire business of wrestling that wins and losses don't mean much for him. They can rebuild him like that.
Yeah, very much so. The Miz is one of those rare people. So, yeah, I think Rey Mysterio, I mean, in if it was on Monday Night Raw, I'd say maybe The Miz is going to squeak this one out. But it's not, and I just don't see any reason to have The Miz win it. So I'm going to go with Rey. Todd, what do you think?
About Rey Mysterio, he's going to probably win the match tomorrow. But I know this Monday night when Mysterio got knocked out by The Miz, that means the heel in that match is losing before the pay-per-view.
Yeah, listen, it could go either way. It's a match that doesn't have a lot of consequence to it. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I would hope that this would be something in which Dominic would attempt to interfere, somehow cost his dad the match, and we'd start to get a little bit of the rumblings of Rey versus Dominic for WrestleMania. But I've been told that that's kind of off the table. So unless it's been put back on the table, I don't see. Anyway, something else to discuss, of course, is that I guess it's a done deal that Steve Austin is indeed going to be fighting Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. And they're also saying now that there's going to be another huge surprise of Austin-like proportions at WrestleMania. I can't imagine what that would be unless it's The Rock. What's Austin-like proportions except The Rock? So we might want to watch for that. It's very interesting because what I'm being told is that Austin may have signed for more than one match. In other words, Austin may have signed to do a series of sort of like an Edge contract where Austin comes back and does 4 or 5 matches over the course of the next year. If that's the case, this is very interesting, and I wonder if that could bring these ratings around. He's still the number one merchandise seller. So it's very interesting to note. I mean, when I heard that Austin had a ring installed in his house, I said, "This, you're going to tell me he did this for one match? He could have went to a gym. You know, he could have actually rented out a gym and said, no one in this gym between these hours, I'm going to use your ring." When he had one installed in his house, I was wondering about this, Mike, and now it appears he may go on maybe a one-year run.
On a one-year run. And I mean, it's not like he's not going to – it's not like it's hard work over there. It's not like his neck is going to be in – you got pros over there that know how to, you know, wrestle soft. And that's what you're going to have to do with Steve Austin. Yeah, he's going to have to look tough, but we know about his neck injury, and we know he's been gone for years because of that neck injury, right? So if this is, well, yeah, you're right. If he's installing a thing in his house, then he's having people come in to help him train, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds very much like it would be more serious than one match. All right, so let's get to, I guess we'll go to the tag team championship match, which is the Viking Raiders versus the Usos. I find this very underwhelming. I'm sorry, but I do. I'm not into this feud. I don't think it does the Usos much good because the Viking Raiders have been portrayed as very, very, very weak candidates for this belt. And there's no way with Roman Reigns going as strong as he is, they're pulling these belts off the Usos to hand them to the Viking Raiders. There's no way. So I don't even – will it be a good match? Yeah, it could very well be a good match because the Usos are a very good tag team. And the Viking Raiders are no slouches. You got to remember, the Viking Raiders have not been shown to be able to do the things they were doing when they were in NXT and things, and they were a very good team. They put on some very good matches over there. They haven't put on a ton of good ones here. But over there they did. And it's very possible they could pull one off here. But regardless of what they do, they're not coming out with the championship, Todd. I mean, they can't take this off the Usos with Roman Reigns going so hot.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with the Viking Raiders. When they were in the NXT, they were not handcuffed or anything. Even when they were probably in Ring of Honor, they were not handcuffed on the indie scene. But you never know with them tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see it at all. I don't know what good the Viking Raiders would do as champions, Mike. And, of course, the Usos being champion elevates Roman Reigns into that I took care of you, you guys weren't the champions until I came along sort of thing. And, you know, it just helps elevate that whole thing.
Right, and it's not going to help because think about it. They're on the road to flipping that entire group and probably sticking Naomi with them to the point of, well, yep. As soon as Naomi gets with them, she's going to win the title, right? Then you'll see him say, you know, I took you and you and you, you know, and made you champions, you know. And look, I hate what they've done with the Viking Raiders because what they've done with the Viking Raiders is basically what they did to Luke and Butch, you know, the Bushwhackers. Before the Bushwhackers were the Bushwhackers, they were the Sheep Haters, and they were one of the hardest hitting, meanest, toughest teams out there, you know.
Yep.
And they get to the WWE and they're licking heads and pity city and all this stuff, you know, running headbutts and all that. Basically a comedy team. I'm not saying that they turned them into a comedy team. I'm just saying they lessened them from what they were before they got there.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent example. And actually, I would go so far as to say for a time they returned them into a comedy team. Remember when the Street Profits and them were doing, like, the Olympics? And that was basically a comedy skit. And then they did the thing where there was a lot of comedy. They did the ninja things with them. There was a lot of comedy in the Viking Raiders. And you're right. It's very close to what they did with the Sheep Herders and the Bushwhackers. And that's why I just don't think they're going to win. Now we got Madcap Moss versus Drew McIntyre. And at first glance, you'd say, well, this is a no-brainer. He's just going to destroy Madcap Moss. I'm going to say the opposite happens, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't know who Drew McIntyre will be facing at WrestleMania. And looking up and down that roster, going to be Baron Corbin, the undefeated Happy Corbin, right? And the only way that's going to happen to make people care about it is if Corbin interferes and Drew McIntyre loses to Madcap Moss today, or tomorrow, I should say, tomorrow. And I guess then McIntyre goes on a page for Corbin in WrestleMania, and rubs that I'm undefeated type thing in Drew McIntyre's face. I think that's what they got planned for Drew McIntyre. If that's the case, there's no sense of him winning tonight. You might as well set up the feud. So I'm gonna go with Madcap Moss.
Right. I'm going to go with Madcap Moss as well. And think about this. You look at Madcap Moss and you look at Drew McIntyre. There's not very much difference in their body types. I mean, it's almost – you look at Madcap Moss and you look at McIntyre, and they're almost looking eye to eye with each other. And they're almost about the same size. I mean, this should be an even match. This could be a surprising match. Yeah, we expect Happy Corbin to somewhere interfere, but this could be a surprising match here.
I agree. You know, Madcap Moss getting a lot of hate on social media, and I have no idea why. He's doing very well. Is it an annoying character? Yeah, it's supposed to be an annoying character. But he's pretty good in the ring. And by the way, he's pretty good in the ring for a guy who hasn't been in the ring a lot. He's pretty good in the ring. He's good at cutting his promos and doing what he has to do. Why shit on him? I don't get that. Now, if he gets the victory over Drew McIntyre, it's not going to be clean. That's for damn sure. It's going to be with a ton of interference. But nonetheless, it helps elevate him a little bit. Maybe we'll even have a 2-on-1. That could be a WrestleMania match, too. It could end up being Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss at WrestleMania. Although, because they're building Corbin up as the undefeated Happy Corbin, I got this feeling it might just be 1-on-1 with Drew McIntyre and Corbin at WrestleMania. Todd, what's your thoughts?
You're absolutely right. Like you said, with Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss match, it's going to be a lot of ton of interference in that match with those three. Especially with Happy Corbin, he's gonna probably cause the McIntyre to match and lose from to help Moss to win tomorrow.
I think so too, and I think WrestleMania will be what I said. I think it'll be Corbin against Drew McIntyre. Let's go to, I guess, the tag team match. So we'll have Sonya Deville, and we will have Charlotte Flair against Naomi and Ronda Rousey. Well, at first glance, you would easily say it's got to be Ronda Rousey's not showing up to lose. She's not going all the way to Saudi Arabia to lose, so that's a given that that team's winning. Although potentially Naomi could pin. If Naomi gets pinned, it won't be by Sonya Deville. It'll be by Charlotte Flair to set up the Charlotte and Ronda Rousey stand down. But I don't think that's going to happen. Likewise, Naomi's not pinning Charlotte Flair, and neither is Ronda Rousey. Sonya Deville, I think, is in this match to take the pinfall. And she'll probably take the pinfall from Naomi, but after Ronda Rousey really kind of finishes her off. In other words, Ronda will give her the whatever, tag Naomi, and Naomi will do her finisher, and that'll be it. I don't think Ronda's going to have a lot of ring time in this. I'll be surprised if she does. And I'm not even sure Charlotte will have a ton of ring time because they want to make sure there's not going to be any problems, no accidents, nothing that's going to result in that match is canceled. So I think the brunt of this is going to be taken by Naomi and Sonya Deville, and I do believe that Ronda's team will win. And if I had to guess, I would say Naomi pins Sonya Deville, Mike.
Yeah, I would guess so too. And for the fact of the matter is you know, you would expect that because Sonya has been really selling that arm injury. We know she doesn't have one, but she's really been selling it. And remember, last week they made like they were going to do it to her other arm too. So
right.
I would think if anything, if what's her name gets the win, if Ronda gets the win, she'll put Sonya in the armbar and be done with it.
That could be too, yes. Yeah, that definitely could be. Elimination Chamber match for the Women's Championship. So we have Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Doudrop, Nikki Ash, and Alexa Bliss. Well, until Alexa Bliss was announced, I was firmly thinking that Bianca Belair was going to be the one. But if you're bringing, not only are you bringing Alexa Bliss back, but you're hauling her ass all the way to Saudi Arabia to do it, she's winning it. Simple as that. If she doesn't win it, I don't know what the hell is going on. Because you would think you would use this to bring her back on a television program where you could advertise it and get the viewers. You chose not to do that. You chose to put that at this event. The only reason I can think of you would choose to do that is if she's winning it. Now, I've been wrong before, and the WWE has shown really bad judgment when it comes to this stuff. But, Todd, this would have to be extraordinarily bad judgment if she doesn't win.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. Like you said, with Alexa Bliss, if she wins this, she's probably going to wrestle Lita or Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, one of those two women.
Yeah, right. Well, she definitely is, because that's what this is all about. And why, Mike, would you bring her all the way to Saudi Arabia and make her re-debut in a foreign country, not on a televised, well, it's televised, but not on a, you know, network television show, unless she was going to win and you had to have her there?
Right. And think about it. She really doesn't have to do much. I mean, who knows how the sequence of opening the cages is going to work. Which cage is going to open first? Yes, they're going to go. This person's coming out first. These two people are coming out first. They're going to start out the match, right? Then they got the other people that come out, and they put them in the cages. And
yep.
If she ends up that her cage is the last cage that opens, then she's definitely winning.
Well, it can't be, because remember, they did that gauntlet match, and the last person out now is going to be Bianca Belair. That's another weird thing, right? But she could be next to last. I just don't see her being hauled all the way to Saudi Arabia to just losing her debut back. I just don't. You just say, stay home, and we'll debut you on the next program. So that's kind of a tell. Here's something else that's a tell. You can easily find out that Lita has not been signed for any more matches past this event, so Lita's not winning. Simple as that. She's not winning. It's not one of these things where you say, oh, Lita signed for a year, so it's possible she could win. Lita did not sign a contract to do any more matches. So unless they have done it in the last 48 hours, Lita's going to basically be gone after this Saudi show. So, I mean, she might show up on, you know, one or two shows just to talk, but no matches have been booked. And no contract has been signed for matches. So that's kind of giving it away that Becky Lynch will win. And Becky Lynch should win. Lita as a champion saying, I got one more run in me. No, actually, you probably don't. See, that's the thing. If you dedicated, you know, 6 months of your life to training and saying, I'm back in as close to as shape as I could be in for my age, then maybe. But I don't see that in Lita. I think Lita just came in and said, I'll do this and take the payday, and I'll get in reasonable shape to do a match, but I'm not going to get in, I'm going to be in wrestling for a year shape. And I don't see her as the champion going into WrestleMania to fight who? It would have to be Becky Lynch again. That's the only match she comes back, or somebody else. It won't even be Oscar, would it? It would be whoever won in the cage. In the Elimination Chamber. It's going to be Lita and Alexa Bliss? Nah. Becky Lynch is winning this. She's not winning it clean, but she's winning it and putting this to rest. So I think this one's a no-brainer too, Mike. You know, Becky Lynch will definitely take this.
Yeah. It's not like Lita's Beth Phoenix. That you look at Beth Phoenix, you look at her, she could very easily sign for a contract for multiple matches and be like her husband and only wrestle, you know, every 6 months or whatever and stuff like that, you know, and right. Be good because she's still in fairly decent. Beth Phoenix is still in fairly decent shape, and she can still take the punishment, all right? And we've talked about the WWE and how light they work, you know? So I think if Lita wanted to, she could, but it's not what they're asking her to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't think too many of these matches are in that big of a question, but I think they could be important. A couple of them could be vitally important, obviously, to WrestleMania. So I guess that's the draw-in, is you may know what's happening, but you want to see it transpire because it's going to have an impact on WrestleMania. Not the least of which, of course, is our last match, which is the men's Elimination Chamber. Now, a month ago, I would have told you, and I did tell you, there's no way they're going to have a unification match. The reason they're not going to have a unification match is who gets the champion. So Raw's without a champion, or SmackDown is without a champion, or he's going to be on both shows? That's not going to happen. That's absolutely not going to happen. Even if this ends up with Roman Reigns winning, you can have Roman Reigns on both shows doing that whole angle, and the Usos won't be on both shows, so how's that going to work? You'd have to end the whole brand split. So I said it's not going to happen, but then something changed, and here's what changed. Ronda Rousey was hired. You see, when it was a two-night event, WrestleMania, they wanted one championship per night, one men's heavyweight championship per night. Now they don't need that, because on one of the two nights, the feature match can be Ronda Rousey. And they feel that's a big enough draw. So now they could potentially have a unification. They do it. There's no guarantee it's not a draw. There's no guarantee it's not a double disqualification. There's no guarantee of any of those things. It would be a hell of a bad ending for a WrestleMania main event, but WWE, don't put it past them. But even if they did unify the championship, Lesnar's been the champion before and only showed up once in a blue moon. And I guess Roman Reigns could just show up and cut promos or pretend he was there cutting promos backstage when he really wasn't. There's a lot you could do with it, so it is possible. I think now it is possible they could have a unification match at WrestleMania. Having said that, I don't know if that's where they're heading with this. If I were a betting man, it would be a long shot, but it would be a long shot that I would take. That someone is going to win this match that doesn't end up being the champion by the time WrestleMania rolls around. In other words, I think they're going to throw you a bluff. I think someone's going to win this. I don't think Bobby Lashley's retaining. I think they're going to throw this on one of the other people. I don't think it's going to be Lesnar either. But they're not going to keep it till WrestleMania. Now, it's probably not going to be Seth Rollins, because we kind of figured if Seth Rollins was going to win it, it would be Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. And we know Kevin Owens now is tied up with Stone Cold, so that's not going to happen. So then we're down to just a couple of people. It's not AJ Styles. So who does that leave? It's not going to be Matt Riddle. He's too busy with the tag team championships pursuing them. So who does that leave? I still say Austin Theory could walk out of this the champion. Not a long-term champion. Maybe not even hold it 2 weeks. But a champion. And that would be the monkey wrench thrown in the works. Now, they could do that just to confuse us and just to have us go, oh, wow, you know, and to further Austin Theory. Or they could just give it to Lesnar. I don't think Lashley's walking out with it. Because I think the WWE has Lashley versus Almost planned, and they don't want it to be for a belt. Because they don't think anyone would believe that Almost would beat Lashley for a belt. They don't want to put the championship on Almost. So then you'd automatically say, okay, well, Almost is losing because he's not winning the belt. There is no belt on the line. Then you'd say, well, I don't know. They might let Almost beat Lashley. So then there's some mystery to it. So my guess would be that Lashley's not going to be the champion after tomorrow. It could very well be Brock Lesnar, and they could very well go for a unification, or Lesnar could lose it before WrestleMania. Or they could slap it on one of the other people, Mike, and just go with a, yeah, but 2 weeks before WrestleMania, someone else wins it. And, you know, you got Cody Rhodes in the mix. If Cody Rhodes signs, that could make things a lot different, Mike.
It could. And think about this. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Put it around Austin Theory, and you know what that might very well set up. You know, he's only been Shane's only been gone for a couple of weeks. All right, let all the bad feelings for Shane simmer down. You know, cool off. And then bring him back, and you could, with Theory being as a champion, and you could run that whole storyline of, oh, you're treating him as your son when I'm your son?
Exactly. There's a ton that can be done. There's a ton that can be done, and the WWE, who always promises the moon and gives you nothing, so take it with a grain of salt. But the WWE said we got big, major, huge storylines to reveal for WrestleMania. We got major things. Now, one of them is obviously Steve Austin. They're going to count that as major. And if they do the unification match, you could argue that's major too. But there's something more. I just got this feeling that they're keeping something close. But it's so close to WrestleMania. If you do honestly bring Cody Rhodes in, and you want to give him a major push right away, there's two schools of thought. Thought is, Cody's too smart to sign to just go back to Stardust and get his ass beat every week. That's probably true. Second school of thought is, the WWE wouldn't put him on top right away because it would almost look like, well, see, the AEW guys are better than WWE. It's tough to say. But you could put Cody Rhodes in the situation right away that would put him in a major match at WrestleMania, if not a title match. It's very possible. It's very possible. So this has all thrown monkey wrenches into the works, and it's very hard to say. But I'm going to take the 100-to-1 shot. I wouldn't advise you to bet any money on it. This weird feeling Austin Theory might come out of this victorious. Not keep the belt. He's not going into WrestleMania as the champion. No way. But for now, it wouldn't surprise me, Todd. Who do you think is going to take the belt or retain the belt in the Elimination Chamber?
I'm going to go with Austin Theory on this one. You know, if he wins this in the Elimination Chamber and becomes WWE champion, he's not going to be a long-term champion. He's going to probably be like a paper or transitional champion or something like that for a short time.
See, that's what I think. That's a long shot. That's the 100-to-1 coming in, Mike. But I don't know if there's ever a time for a long shot. It might be now. I don't think Mike is there. I got a little noise on that phone line. So anyway, as far as the entire event, all we can say is this. The Elimination Chamber, when it first, not the Elimination Chamber, the Saudi shows when it first transpired, they were like from another universe. Literally. Thing was a storyline, or very few things were a storyline. It was like you were in a different universe. Everything that happened in Saudi had no bearing on what happened in the United States or on the regular shows. Now it's different. Ramifications is going to lead to WrestleMania, and I have to applaud that because that's what they should have been doing to begin with. And, oh, we also, of course, have Goldberg. I forgot. Goldberg against Roman Reigns. I mean, you got to be kidding me. There's no way in God's green earth Goldberg is winning this belt. I will go so far as to say this. If Goldberg wins this belt in Saudi Arabia by being the first person to win, to beat Roman Reigns and breaking his how long streak of being the champion, I may never watch WWE again. I may wash my hands of it. Because then that just shows absolute disrespect to your fans. You've led them this far down this storyline of Roman Reigns being virtually unbeatable. And if you just have some dude who wrestles twice a year come back and maul him, I give up then. There's no point in me watching your show anymore because even you don't know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, I sure as hell don't want to watch you do it. So this was the one I the most guaranteed. This is just to set up Roman Reigns for whoever wins that Elimination Chamber, Mike. There's no way Goldberg walks out of here with a belt.
Absolutely. This is just them setting up for Roman Reigns. Absolutely. And we know that Goldberg, he's 54 years old. He's only doing one or two matches a year, if that. And you're thinking about putting the championship on him? That doesn't sound right.
No, especially not before WrestleMania. So, yeah, I think this is a throwaway match. I don't even think, you know, people are saying this could be better than him versus Lashley. I don't think so. I think this is just going to be a throwaway match. I think this is one of those things where, for whatever reason, Saudi wanted to see Goldberg. They like Goldberg. I don't know whether the prince or whatever it is likes Goldberg or whatever, so they just haul him back for the money. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do they bow so much to what Saudi Arabia wants? Why don't they just put on the show they want? Because Saudi Arabia pays them so much money. I don't know if you realize how much money they get. Some people are saying that just going to Saudi Arabia is going to make them more money than the AEW will make all year long from their television deals. That's a lot of money. So if somebody says, oh, you know, I have a request, I want Goldberg, I guess you're going to go get him, right? For that kind of money, I guess you are. Can't really blame WWE for that. Now, it's a weird sort of an event. It's on at noon, which is really bizarre. Of course, you can watch it anytime you want on the replay, but nonetheless, I'll be interested. I'll be interested to see how big this event turns out to be. Noon on a Saturday, a little bit tough. So I don't think the initial showing is going to do anything close to what it will do eventually when people watch it. I myself probably won't be watching it at noon. So I imagine some other people won't be either. Let's do our lock. Well, there's so many locks, though. Let's not do our lock of the pay-per-view because there's so many. Let's do the match we think will be the best overall match. I'm going to say the best overall match probably will be the Elimination Chamber men's match because you have a couple of people in there who can really go, and then you have a couple of big names as well, like Lesnar and Lashley colliding again will be fun. AJ Styles is in there. He can work. Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, they can work. Matt Riddle can work. You got some guys who can really work in there. And then you got some guys who are just going to be the big mastodons going at each other. I think a lot of fun could be had in this match, and I think everybody will try hard. I don't think you have anybody in this match, with the possible exception of Lesnar, who's been a little bit rejuvenated, who would dog it. Riddle won't dog it. AJ's definitely not going to dog it. Seth never dogs it, so he's not going to dog it. Austin Theory has no, there's absolutely no way he'll dog it. This is his highlight. This is his big moment, so he's definitely not going to dog it. And I think Lesnar and Lashley are of the right mindset now that they know this is big, so they're not going to dog it. So I'm going to go with that match being the best match of the night, Mike. What do you think?
I think so, too. I think, and plus, you know, we still have on the back burner, another possible, I know, not right away, but another possible set of matches between Lesnar and Lashley that could potentially steal any pay-per-view you put them on.
Yeah. I think it'll be a good match. Now, do I think the whole show is going to be a good match? No, I think the tag team match with Ronda is probably not going to be good. I don't know how Madcap Moss and McIntyre is going to come out. Probably not super great. The Miz and Mysterio put on a good match, but they're not going to be given a lot of time to put on a good match. The Usos always put on a good match. Our only hope is that the Viking Raiders show that old form that they used to have and we really get a good, solid match. I don't expect much out of Becky Lynch and Lita. Lita's been gone a long time. What do you expect from her? So I don't think this is going to be a particularly exciting or remarkable premium live event, Todd, but it does have some ramifications for WrestleMania, so it should at least be interesting.
Oh, you're absolutely right, yeah, like you said. You know, probably, like you said, all those matches are going to probably be the best matches, the Men's Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. I want to keep a closer eye on that to see how they do with what Austin Theory in this. And will they?
That's going to be another thing. You know, Austin Theory is reminding me a little bit of The Miz in the sense he's a bit bulletproof. He can get pinned at this stage because you're just saying, well, he's over-trying for Vince McMahon. Once he hits his stride, he's really talented and he does well, but he always makes that one mistake. Because he's a rookie, he's young, he's still green, and he's over-trying. When he hits his stride, he's not going to make them mistakes. He's going to be real tough. So he's sort of bulletproof that way, Mike. So even if Austin Theory doesn't win, he's still going to come out of this better for it.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. He's one of the few guys that could come out better for it. Now, winning, sure, if he wins, you could. I'll say this, if he wins, that they're definitely setting up him versus Shane at some point, if he wins.
You would have to think so. I mean, if the rumors are true and Shane's never wrestling again, well, I guess not. But I don't buy that. I just don't buy that. We know he's still working for WWE. They've said his in-ring is done, but how many times have they said that? And you would think that that would be an angle that would write itself. So, yeah, well, we'll see. Anyway, folks, we will be back here on Sunday to run down exactly what happened in Saudi Arabia and all the latest news on Cody Rhodes. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.